We take a look at the week in Washington. Senate Republicans met with President Trump today to gauge his support for expanding firearm background checks. John Bolton is leaving his post as national security advisor. And new polling shows that as President Trump's approval rating dips, Americans are feeling more worried about a recession within the next year. Our question for you this week, are you worried about a recession maybe over the next year? Do you think President Trump is setting the economy up for success, or are you worried about a downturn because of him, in spite of his efforts? Are you worried about a trade war and dueling tariffs on consumer goods with China, how that can affect our national economy and your personal economy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Tolu Olorunipa is a White House reporter for The Washington Post. Tolu, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here, Rob.
Well, let's start with the sort of surprising, non-surprising news of the week so far. John Bolton is out as national security advisor. He says he offered to resign Monday night. President Trump says he, in effect, fired Bolton. What do we know about what happened?
Well, we know that there are dueling narratives from the president and his national security advisor about what happened. Apparently, there was a falling out over a number of different issues, but specifically in recent days over the president's plan to bring members of the Taliban, leaders of the Taliban, to Camp David to notch a peace agreement over Afghanistan. There was a lot of internal debate about that, and the president was not happy with some of the leaks that came out of the administration about that internal debate and the fact that there were a lot of people who disagreed with the president's decision to bring the Taliban into Camp David. John Bolton has taken a tougher line than the president on a number of different issues. The president has said that he wasn't happy with John Bolton's position on everything from Iran to Venezuela to North Korea. And it seemed like the most recent disagreement over Afghanistan was the straw that broke the camel's back. And now you have John Bolton saying that he quit and he was not fired. And it just seems to be sort of an internal kind of messy situation where the president is having a nasty breakup with one of his top advisors and on Twitter and publicly. And it's not a normal situation where you might have someone resign quietly or say they want to spend more time with their family. It's very much a public dispute and a public spat over policy issues and over policy disagreements.
Here's a listen to President Trump talking about Bolton's departure at the White House earlier today.
He's somebody that I actually had a very good relationship with, but he wasn't getting along with people in the administration that I consider very important. And I hope we've left in good stead, but maybe we haven't, maybe we haven't. I have to run the country the way we're running the country. We're doing very well. We're respected all over the world again.
This is the third national security advisor to leave the Trump administration. That, I think, is a quicker pace than we usually see at this job.
Yeah, this is a pretty fast pace. There's been a lot of turnover within the Trump administration, but this position especially has been marred by controversy. The first national security advisor was caught up in federal investigations and eventually pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his calls with Russian officials. The president had some trouble getting along with his second national security advisor and had some public fighting also with him, H.R. McMaster. He brought in John Bolton, which was somewhat curious because John Bolton is very much a hawk on a number of different issues, and the president campaigned on the idea of getting out of various so-called endless wars that the U.S. has gotten involved in. So it was a curious decision that the president brought in John Bolton. He had seen him a lot on Fox News, but it was clear that there were going to be some personality clashes in that relationship, and it seems like the president has had trouble finding a national security advisor who can stay in the job and who he can sort of have a mind meld with over foreign policy issues. And this is just the latest example of the president having a public falling out with one of his top national security officials and sort of firing the person on Twitter in a public way. The president said he will be announcing the fourth national security advisor next week. So we'll have to wait and see who may end up getting the job next. But it is clear that the president has had trouble finding people who he can agree with and who he can get along with over a long period of time. And that's why we've seen so much turnover in this position.
Talking about some of the top news in national politics this week with Tolu Olorunipa from the Washington Post. I want to move on to something I know you've written about, Tolu. The latest polls on President Trump and Americans' concerns about the future of our economy. This poll was Washington Post and ABC. What jumped out to you here?
The numbers that jumped out to me most was 60%. That's 60% of Americans who expect that the U.S. will be in a recession within the next 12 months. So that is a pretty negative sentiment about where people see the economy and where they see it going. There's a big split because about 56% of Americans say that the economy is good, positive. They view it positively right now, but a large number of those people who think the economy is good now think it's going to take a turn for the worse, and that could really have a negative impact on the president's reelection bid. It could end up being self-reinforcing. If people feel that the economy is going bad, they may end up spending less money, and consumer spending could dip, and that could harm the broader economy. And if that happens, the president's central argument for reelection really takes a hit. He's been talking about the strong economy and talking about how he's been able to, you know, create all of these jobs and bring the unemployment rate low. And if he loses that message, or if the economy slows and he can't make that message as forcefully, it's going to be very difficult for him to run a strong reelection campaign. And another number that jumped out from the poll is that only 38% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. That's down from 44% earlier in the summer, and it comes in part because people are worried over the state of the trade war. They believe that the president has done more to advance the oncoming of a potential recession than he has to stave it off. They believe that his trade war with China is harming the economy, and he's not getting very strong marks for his handling of the economy, which in the past it's been one of his strongest issues. Right now it's more of a mixed bag, with about half of Americans saying they approve of how he handles the economy and half saying they disapprove. And for a president who wants to hang his reelection bid on economic growth, having a mixed bag on that issue is not a good situation for him. So there are a lot of warning signs for the president in this poll that show that the economy may not be the strong issue that he wants it to be going into 2020. And a lot of people are worried and concerned that actually we could see a recession in the next 12 months.
And the president has had kind of a two-part message on the economy. One, it's doing great in large part, he says, because of his reforms and Republicans in Congress. But two, he's saying the Federal Reserve needs to cut interest rate, already low interest rates, even lower. In one tweet, I think he said to 0% or lower to maintain the good economy. Is that a mixed message?
It's a mixed message, in part because the president wants to be able to say that the economy is strong. He does not want people to believe that the economy is not going to be strong. He does actually believe that if people feel that way, that it could be a self-reinforcing situation that causes a recession because people stop spending money. So he's been the number one cheerleader of the economy and cheerleader of himself and his handling of the economy. But at the same time, he's picked out a few scapegoats, including the number one scapegoat for him, the Federal Reserve, and Fed Chairman Jay Powell saying that the Federal Reserve needs to cut rates. It's really an unprecedented intervention into what is normally an independent body, the Federal Reserve, the president trying to force the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates all the way down to zero or even negative interest rates for political reasons or to benefit his political standing or to help him in his trade war with China. The president is choosing that scapegoat in case there is more of an economic slowdown to blame it on the Fed. He's also blamed the media for you know, sparking fears of a recession. So we are seeing this two-track approach with the president, saying, you know, he's done a good job with the economy, but also looking for people to blame in the event that the economy slows down further.
Let's bring on a caller on this at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Racine. Chris, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My concern is that, yes, I believe Trump is going to harm the economy. I believe that it's no secret that his tweets move the market. I'm certain that he's doing it deliberately, and I wouldn't put it past him to deliberately put out tweets to make it go down. if things aren't going his way, so he can turn around and put it back up again. I wouldn't put it past him to have, he manipulates so much. I believe that he would have his billionaire buddies, you know, buying up the market as well.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. I don't know that if even the president and other wealthy people can have that much of a finger on the lever of the economy. But that said, it is true. In some cases, when the president tweets about a particular company in particular, Tolu, the market does respond very often.
Yes, and we have seen the markets gyrate pretty wildly over the last few months, specifically over the summer. And that's part of the reason these numbers are tanking for the president, because a lot of people believe there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy that is sparked by the president. He's been on again and off again with the trade war with China. He's proposed new tariffs and then delayed them and then put them back on. He said that, you know, Chinese President Xi Jinping is an enemy of the U.S. And then he said he's my friend and we get along great and the trade talks are back on. So that's part of the reason we've seen the wild swings in the market over the last several weeks. And that's around the time that the Washington Post and ABC were doing this poll. And we see a lot of concern in among Americans that these wild swings in the market are a sign that there is going to be a recession. They're a sign that the president has not been sort of strong in handling the economy. We're seeing his numbers sort of soften in terms of his approval rating on economic issues. So I do think that the fact that there are these wild swings in the market, these are things that people are following, they're watching, and it's causing concern among a number of voters that things are likely to slow down economically in the future, and it's causing people to be concerned that the economy is not on a strong footing and that things could take a turn for the worse pretty soon.
So we continue our conversation with Tolu Olorunipa, White House reporter at The Washington Post, looking at the week in national politics. Want to get to Congress now. They're back from vacation. We've seen pressure, Tolu, on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to take action on a background check, a gun background check bill passed by the House. Today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was asked by a reporter about whether she regrets not calling the House back into session to do more on guns. Here's her response.
Senator McConnell is standing in the way. We passed our bill in February. Members had events all over the country to ask him to bring up the bill. Don't ask me what we haven't done. We have done it. And if you are annoyed with my impatience, it's because people are dying, because Senator McConnell hasn't acted. Why don't you go ask him if he has any regrets for all the people who died because he hasn't acted?
So strong words from the leader of one chamber targeted at the other, Tolu. What's going to give here?
Well, it's clear that Senator McConnell will not be taking any action until he hears from President Trump what the president will sign and what the president will support. The White House has been, they say, working behind the scenes, but so far the president has held his cards very close to the vest and has not talked about what type of policy he supports for any type of gun control or gun safety legislation. We are expecting in the next few days to hear more from the White House in terms of putting, you know, ink on paper in terms of what they support, and that could get the ball rolling on some sort of minor shifts or minor legislation. Some of the things that the Democrats want in terms of sweeping policy changes are just not going to fly with the White House and not going to fly with the Republican-controlled Senate. So we're talking about sort of things around the edges here that may get passed if the president signals his support. But the ball is definitely in the court of the White House, because Senator McConnell has said that he's not going to take any action until he gets a word from the White House. And so far, we have not heard exactly what the president will support. And he's been somewhat reluctant to take any action that would put him crosswise with the NRA. He's had multiple calls with the leadership of the NRA and trying to find out what the NRA will support or at least only mildly oppose, and that may determine how far the president's willing to go and how far Republicans are willing to go in passing anything that has to do with gun control or gun safety. So right now we're in a holding pattern until the White House decides what they can get behind.
The president at some point after a couple of the mass shootings in the summer had said he would be open to some kind of stronger background check. Is he talking that way more recently?
Yeah, he has backed down a little bit from those strong comments about wanting to do something very significant on background checks. It's clear at this point that when Democrats say the word background checks and when Republicans and the president says the word background checks, they're talking about very different things. And sort of the public is waiting to find out exactly what the White House means when they say background checks. So far, it appears that they are likely to push forward something that's much more limited than what the Democrats have already passed. The universal background checks bill that already passed out of the House earlier this year is not getting any traction in the Senate, not getting any traction with the White House. But the White House may put forward something much more limited that does expand background checks for some gun purchases, but nothing close to the universal approach that the Democrats want and that what and the Democrats passed in the House. And the president has talked about red flag laws and things that would keep guns out of the hands of the mentally unstable. It seems like that seems to be where the president is much more focused on mental illness and not on a broad process of restricting access to firearms or expanding background checks for all gun purchases the way the Democrats have proposed.
Talking to Tolu Olorunipa from The Washington Post about some of the top stories in national politics. Well, Tolu, the 2018 congressional elections finally ended yesterday, weirdly. There was a seat in North Carolina. It was a do-over after some weirdness in the actual election. Why was this one? I know there were two races. Why was this one race getting so much national attention?
Well, back in November, when there was a big blue wave and the Democrats took over control of the House, this one seat in North Carolina was one of the closest races in the country. It was a seat that President Trump had won by double digits in 2016, but it swung and almost was won by a Democrat. Only about 900 votes separated the two candidates, and there was a lot of concern, and the election was not able to be certified because of concerns over voter fraud and voter irregularities mostly on the Republican side, and they had to do another election. And one reason it was so heavily contested and so expensive was that people see this race as a bellwether for the 2020 elections. This is a district that President Trump won significantly in 2016. It includes some suburban areas that have trended towards Democrats. And last night, Democrats were able to overperform what President Trump did in 2016, but Republicans were able to hold on to the seat. So both sides got something they wanted out of it. Democrats can say that it's a sign that things have not improved for Republicans since 2018, when they took a pretty large drubbing in the House. Republicans can say that they were able to hold on to a very important seat where they were outspent by the Democratic candidate. President Trump believes that it was a sign of his strength that he was able to hold a rally on Monday night and bring voters over the finish line and help bring the Republican candidate over the finish line. So both sides got something they wanted out of this race, but it's clearly going to be a hard-fought election in 2020, because the same dynamics that powered this special election are continuing to take place. We have rural voters that are swinging to the president in large numbers, and suburban voters that are swinging away from the president and away from Republicans in large numbers. And that's creating a dynamic that's putting a lot of races in play. So it's going to be a hard-fought 2020 election in the House and the Senate and for the White House.
It seems like if anybody was looking at this one as a magic eight ball for the 2020 elections, the response is clearly reply hazy, ask again later.
That's exactly right. And it could be that if you want to see this in a positive light, you can see positive things out of it from both angles. So I imagine we're going to continue to hear a lot of spin from Republicans and a lot of spin from Democrats about this special election as they tee up their plans for pursuing the 2020 races, both in the Senate, where in North Carolina there's a Senate race, and another a few other competitive races in various states, and dozens of competitive races in the House, and several states that continue to be swing states, including North Carolina, where at the presidential level they will be pivotal in deciding whether or not Trump gets reelected or whether a Democrat is able to oust him from office.
And briefly, Tolu, as we wrap up, impeachment, the House Judiciary Committee is expected to vote sometime soon on new procedures for its inquiry. Real mixed messages coming from Democrats about whether or not they're doing anything related to impeachment, right?
Yeah, there seems to be divisions, at least semantically, among Democrats about whether or not they are pursuing some kind of impeachment inquiry. The Judiciary Committee seems to be wanting to lean in as far as possible and saying that they have begun an impeachment inquiry. Some of the Democratic leaders are saying they're still litigating and still investigating, still in the fact-gathering process. But there are a number of Democrats that are getting impatient, feeling the clock is running out, and they want to be able to tell their voters that they held the president accountable. There are a number of Democrats who feel they have plenty of information with which to start an impeachment inquiry. There are some Democrats from more swing districts who believe that they should wait and not hold an impeachment inquiry because it would be too divisive. And that's why you hear these mixed messages coming from various Democrats. They haven't been able to come to a consensus yet. And it remains to be seen whether or not they will pull the trigger and actually go forward with an impeachment to hold a hearing on whether or not the president conducted and committed impeachable offenses.
Tolu, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
You got it. Thank you.
That's Tolu Olorunipa, White House reporter at The Washington Post. He joined us for a look at the top stories this week in national politics. We asked for your thoughts on the president and the economy. Jim in Watertown says Trump has been strong with China. That's a good thing. If he's not reelected, it could go away. Jennifer says the tariff war may work out in the long run. Right now, it's having a negative effect. Keep sharing your thoughts. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.